You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Absolutely thrilled. Nice, fun, special episode.
Right?
This is going to be cool because this is also our first Skype interview.
Wow.
Our first Skype, like, video where we can actually see the person.
What an honor for this person.
for us to be able to see him at the interview, but he cannot see us.
We're gracing you with our own eyes.
we're super, super thrilled. So thank you so much for listening. But so coming up this next week will be the Kicking and Screening Festival.
That's right.
That we always attend. We always have an absolute blast.
We're always a part of somehow. We get in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether they want us there or not.
That's right. We show up like, yo, we here now. Where's the green room?
But the Kicking and Screening Film Festival, if you haven't attended, we've been there the last 3 years. It's super, super fun. It is movies, films, and soccer at a film festival. I don't know of any other place in the world that does this, and it's just super cool. It's going to be the 11th year that they're doing it.
A festival for just soccer movies and content.
Yes,
stuff.
And we've seen just incredible films. Remember last year we saw American Football Messi and Me and all these other ones. They do amazing, amazing.
Yeah, no one's asked us to be in a movie yet.
Well, this guy's been the HQ host. How could you? The resume is clearly there.
I mean, done. The balls in this industry. Let me tell you. But anyway, enough about us. This guy's absolutely amazing. He produces dope movie, which is going to be a part of Kicking and Screening. Also a writer for F is for Family. So speaking of comedy.
Oh, that's right. Burr's F is for Family.
That's right. So, I mean, shouts to us for mentioning that. But of course, guys, unless you're driving, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Joe Heslinga, everybody.
Hey, Joe.
Yo, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us, man. This is it's an honor. It's nice to be able to see the guest. And we can actually see how we're making you feel. Because usually when we talk to people...
Yeah, I can't see you guys, though.
Exactly.
I'm just staring at a blue wall right now.
That's right. Well, if you were looking at us, you would be too enthralled. You know what it is?
Too distracted by our beauty. But no, this is... we're happy to have you here because... you directed a documentary called Foosballers, right? So I watched some of the film, if you haven't seen the trailer, it's pretty clear what it's about, right? It is about professional foosballers, and this is an industry that I was not really aware kind of existed, but I'm not surprised by. But the one thing is that the first thing that I noticed that I was taken aback by was how insanely good some of these foosballers are. Because for me, the game, I play foosball once in a while, and I play for 10 minutes, my wrists hurt, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
I go about our day. You go back to the bar, you know?
Right.
These guys have made a life out of this game.
What was it like interacting with these professional foosballers?
Well, for one, they're super, super awesome people to hang out with. So, like, on a personal level, it was super chill. But they're insane at foosball. Like, it blew me away. Like, probably like you guys, I've played a couple times. Like, all I knew is that you couldn't spin the rods and that was it. And then these guys are drawing diagrams on their table, like, going through, like, a million different passes and shots and just strategy. And, I mean, I was completely blown away. I had no idea that it existed, and definitely not at that level. Like, you go to a foosball table at a bar and it's like you see people tinkering around and then these guys show up. You can hear when they take a shot, like, across the room, like in your chest, you can feel it. It's it's insane.
There's this one in the trailer specifically, but the movie begins with this gentleman with long hair and his name escapes me.
Tony
Spreedman.
Spreedman. He lifts the ball up using two different sort of players, and then he drops it and volleys it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's called legal? Aerial.
No, so it used to be illegal. You used to not be able to do it. I think it was legal in the 90s, and then they outlawed it. And then they just announced, like, 2 weeks ago that starting, I think, at the national tournament in a couple weeks, it's going to be a legal shot now. So now everyone's like freaking out trying to do the shot. Because basically you can pass it, you clear the ball up to your forward, and then you can hit it in. You can score it too, but it's mostly like if the guy blocks it, it goes right to your three bar, and then you get, you have your shot.
Hold on. Headers are allowed in foosball now?
Yeah. There's a dude.
Someone get me an Alan Gordon figurine for my foosball table.
There's a cool video online. I think Will Stranks from Edmonton, he does an aerial, and then he actually kicks it up to his foot, and then he heads it into the goal. And I don't know what you search for. I'll send it to you guys later. But it's like it blew me away when I saw it. I was like, how the fuck did he even do that?
Now this is not just foosball. This is extreme foosball, yeah, right? Yeah. Like they're really
people are gonna break the wrists.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, you said outlaw. That was outlawed, and I was gonna make outlawed. Fun of that. But after your explanation, that's an appropriate term.
It's funny. Like going into this, I had no idea that foosball was played at this level, didn't know that they had professional tournaments. It dates all the way back to the 70s. And you talk to a lot of the old players in the 70s, and they all shoot what's called a pull shot. And it was late 80s, early 90s, they developed a new shot called the rollover or the snake shot. And when you do it, it almost looks like a spin, and you're not allowed to spin the rods. And a lot of the old school players think that the rollover is a spin shot. And the technical rule is you're not allowed to spin the rod 360 degrees. But what you do is you pin the ball. So by the time you hit it, you're only hitting it 340 degrees. So it's kind of it's a legal shot, but all the old school players are like, oh, I want to outlaw that. Like there's actually a guy who does tournaments in California and throughout the country. His name's Brendan Flaherty. He owns Warrior Table Soccer. And at his tournaments, they've outlawed the rollover. So it's no joke, man. These guys are serious.
They're bringing it. They're bringing out compasses and stuff. They're like, we're going to figure out angles here.
Yep.
Is there any performance enhancing drugs that are being used all of a sudden?
I don't know. I think back in the day, there was definitely some performance enhancing drugs. But today it seems like it's cleaned up a little bit. So,
well, let me ask you, Joe, what do you consider yourself? Cause you write, you've done some other stuff, you've produced a bunch, you've directed in the past. What do you consider yourself first and foremost?
That's a great question, man. I don't know. People ask me like introduce myself. I'm like, my name's Joe. I didn't even say my last name. So I'm like, but I don't know. I write, direct, produce. Like I just like to create shit. So like making a movie, like we did this all ourselves. Like I edited the whole thing in my dining room, in my apartment. So I'm an editor. I also write on Evis for Family. So I'm a writer. I produce stuff. So I don't know. I'm just a dude who likes to make stuff.
Was this story presented to you? I mean, how did you, in between writing for a big, huge cartoon that's on Netflix and all this other stuff you do, how did you come about? Cause I mean, I've never heard of professional footballers and we're in the soccer world.
Totally. So me and my buddy, Mike Wagstaff, we have written together for years. We were talking about like ideas for TV shows, and he was like, oh, obscure sports that aren't on TV might be a fun thing to explore. So we're like, oh yeah, I bet you they even have like professional foosball. So it started as like me just searching professional foosball. And all of a sudden, like all these videos came up, hundreds of thousands of views. And we're like, dude, what? Like this exists. And then it literally turned into like, 6 hours later in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. I'm like still researching the stuff. They have like a World Table Soccer Almanac that's like 600 pages that like, okay, this is like they have a 600 page book about table soccer. Like this is crazy. So it started as this like internet rabbit hole, like deep dive. And I've literally been in it for like 3 years. Just like this movie is a result of just going down these rabbit holes and just,
I'm curious because one of my favorite parts was the sort of the history of foosball and how it started and like that the first like you kind of go through the background and like that first patent and how the it was English, right? It was England that first patent existed.
Yeah, the first patent for that, but it's kind of murky, like the whole history of it. There's places all kind of throughout Europe that claim to have been the origin of foosball. So like there's places in Spain and Italy, like guys who all kind of around the same time. So it's not like that was the first patent, but
Yeah.
You know,
it was like Christopher Columbus saying he discovered America, but there were people here, you know?
Right.
Similar. I'm sure similar weight in history as well.
Yeah. But the interesting part was when foosball was introduced to the United States, right? It didn't seem like the concern was, oh, the game is great, but Americans don't really like soccer. Like, it's not really a significant part of the culture. So in your research, was there anything like, what was the connection between soccer and foosball and how they were going to market it here?
So I think here, you're right. Soccer's not as big here. It's much bigger in Europe and overseas. But here it was always a coin operated sport in bars and game rooms. And it became like this culture. You would find it a lot in frats, you know, in their basements or bars and stuff. So there was always a connection to soccer, but here in the States, it wasn't like soccer nuts were going to go play foosball because it was, you know, a game they loved. They liked it because of, you know, that sort of, you know, hippie culture in the 60s and 70s that just bred for a new type of game that was fun.
Yeah, it's a little bro-y here because it's like sports bars near colleges and stuff.
Totally. Well, and I'm not going to spoil the movie, but, you know, one of the first world champions to ever play foosball, he started at his frat in Boulder, you know, so like the whole
that sentence is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, isn't it? It's crazy. Like, if you were to tell me 3 years ago that, hey, pro foosball exists, I'd be like, well, no, you're joking. And then in my head, I'd be like, what is a bunch of stoners who in Colorado who are playing? And there might be people who smoke pot and play foosball, but it is actually a part of the history. Like, this dude was in a frat in Colorado, and in his basement, they got a foosball table and he just got insanely good.
Isn't one dude in the film runs a dispensary also, right? He's like,
he's a pot
king.
Yeah. All of this makes sense.
but the thing is he, you know, yeah, he grows marijuana and has a dispensary, but he's insanely talented at what he does. Like, he doesn't just grow pot. Like, he grows the best pot in the world.
Oh,
like,
sure.
he's next level.
Yeah,
at what he does.
That's the one thing that stood out to me was that these professional foosballers are not the type of people you would think were professional footballers. You know what I mean? Like, they don't fit any real stereotype. One guy is a doctor, right? He's a damn doctor, his whole family.
Chief of anesthesia. And he doesn't smoke, drink, you know, none of that. He plays foosball. He's one of the most hyper energetic, fun loving guys you'll ever meet. And he told me, I sleep maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss out on something. Like, it was just the level of success that the guy has. He's just, foosball players are all wired differently than the rest of the population. Like, they're just in tune with just not just their own competition, but just succeeding at whatever they put their mind to.
Yeah, I would say even the level of intricacy and detail in the game, where, again, when I play foosball, I'm literally just trying to get it just a little close to the
I'm
goal.
Just don't let my wife beat me in this game. That's my that's my mentality.
That's it. But I do, you were saying, that they diagram the on the actual table, and then there's also they approach it very much the way soccer coaches approach soccer. There's no difference between watching Pep Guardiola give a team talk and then these foosball guys. They're legit. They're
no difference whatsoever.
Not one.
Not one. I dare you to tell me a difference.
It was that impressive to me.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And not just the angles and hitting it with that much precision is one thing, but then you're incorporating a random factor, whoever your opponent is. So wherever you have to anticipate five moves ahead, how they're playing defense against you, and, you know, whether you're going to, if you have the ball on your two rod, if you're going to pass it or you're going to shoot it, it's a million things are going through their heads at once. I can watch it and kind of follow, but I don't even know where to begin as far as where they're thinking. You know,
did you ever play any one of these guys? or girls?
Oh yeah, like they smoked me. Like there's in the movie a you know 14-year-old girl who absolutely murdered me. Like and she could have been playing blindfolded and would have murdered me. Like they're that good. And that's the thing that like I thought I was good. I used to like play my little brother and like I could beat him. And I was like, oh man, like foosball is like not that hard. And then you see even the worst player at a tournament is better than 99.9% of people who have ever played. Like they're just, yeah, you just have to see it to believe it.
Would you ever have a dream of, did you get better? Do you think you'll ever go pro? Is this something you want to?
I would love to play more, but you know, living in LA, like I don't have a table. And in order to even get close to a competitive level, you have to practice. I mean, these guys practice by themselves like 8 hours a day.
How much is a foosball table? Imagine.
A foosball table is like $500, right?
If you want like, yeah, they have, you know, starting as low as like 200, but if you want to play on the one that they play on tour, which is a Tornado, that's like 1300, 1700 bucks.
Okay.
Jesus.
You know what? So,
yeah,
you know,
like they're legit. They're
I don't
legit.
Need and a car. I'm good.
Yeah. Check totally, out the drip. Right? You want to come to my basement?
Yep.
So I'm curious, because you made a documentary and documentarians tend to sort of get very emotionally invested in like the characters that, you know, you're filming
their
people.
Subjects.
Their subject, you're following them right. around for a long time. Is there anybody that kind of stood out to you as far as like even outside of foosball, like that their story was like very touching?
I would say everyone had a touching story. On a friendship level, I'm friends with all these people now. The term like documentary subject always felt very weird and clinical. It's like, yeah, I'm a documentary filmmaker, I guess, but like, I'm also just a dude who likes to talk to other people and make friends. So they're all my friends now. But as far as like someone who had a touching story, I would say Cindy Head was probably the person that like it, her story struck with me the most. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but she, you know, has been playing for 40 plus years and, you know, she's tough as nails on a foosball table. She's a retired cop from Alabama, but off the table, she's like the sweetest person. And just hearing her story, you know, overcoming adversity and finding, you know, sort of what saved her life was foosball. And if you say that to someone, that sounds like a ridiculous sentence, you know, like foosball saved my life. But for some people, it did. And
that sounds
it's
like the plot of a movie with a talking dog in it.
Totally. Totally.
You know what I mean?
You're like, what?
Like a cop from Alabama.
Right. But it's true. And like when you know, and that was my experience making the movie. It's like all this stuff sounded too surreal. And then when you meet the people, it really changed my perspective. It was like, these are real people who care deeply about this, and it's become their whole life. You know, they dedicate their lives to it. Some of them do it professionally. That's their only source of income. Others play it on a professional level, but they have jobs to support themselves. They have families. So it's not just a hobby. It literally is a way of life.
Yeah. And also in the film, there's a comedian in there, Kelsey Cook, who's, who we know, I did a show with her when she was in New York a couple, maybe like last year sometime.
Which she has a show on All Things Comedy, which is owned by Bill Burr, and you write for F is for Family. So there's a nice little,
right.
It's all connected.
Right? All connected. Carol.
And the funny thing is her mom, the way I even met Kelsey was her mom wrote the World Table Soccer Almanac.
That's
so
insane.
when I was like, you know, up in the middle of the night researching all this foosball stuff, I came across the book and it was written by Kathy Brainard, and I started talking to her and emailing, and she's like, oh, my daughter Kelsey is a comic in LA, and you know, and she's also like an insanely good foosball player and could kick all of our asses, you know, in a second. I mean, you saw it in her videos. She's just really good.
And the fact that like this is why it's amazing that there seems to be so many connections between, look, even foosball, soccer, comedy. The one thing we always deal with is like, you know, we're two comedians who talk about soccer. All of our comedy peers make fun of us for what we've invested our lives in, right?
Yeah. Right.
But like, why are you talking about soccer, you know?
But when you said I'm going to make a foosball documentary, what did the F is for Family writers room say?
They were stoked, man. They're like, oh, that sounds, they all laughed. Like when I tell anybody I'm making a movie about professional foosball, they think it's hilarious. They're like, oh, that's
But that's
funny.
Also because weed is legal in California.
That's a big part.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, yeah, but then they saw the trailer that we did. Like, we did a Kickstarter trailer, like, when we first tried to raise money. And they're like, they saw, like, well, this is pretty dope, you know. So they were always, you know, supportive. But, yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. They're like, foosball. Like,
I want to give you, I want to give you some credit, because just watching part of the movie and watching the trailer, and this probably I think you're too close to it to understand what I'm going to say. You give it this sort of level of prestige and honor. You give it the seriousness, and I'm sure you're like, what are you talking about? It should be, but to us, foosball seems like a kind of a silly thing sometimes, but you go at it the same way you would, like, someone is finding a lost Picasso, you know?
Totally. But we wanted to give it, like, the ESPN 30 for 30 style treatment, you know,
100%.
Like, it's super easy to take something that at the surface sounds jokey and make it a joke. So we're like, you know, why not make a serious movie? Cause it, you know, at the end of the day, like, the movie does have heart, and it does, you know, resonate with people in a different way than just a comedy would, but, like, let's do it serious, you know, and let's, you know, play it for what it is. You know, there's a bunch of comedy in the movie, but, you know, it's not just a comedy. Like, we really did our research. Like, it's never been covered in any, you know, on TV or in the news. Like, it's always been, like, you know, a paragraph article, like, at the back of the newspaper, if it's ever in the media. So we wanted to, like, all right, we're going to make a foosball movie. Let's do it right. Let's not just have the funny moments and the quirky moments, but let's, like, actually do our research and see who are the, you know, legends of foosball, you know, and let's get them in the movie, you know, let's travel all around the country and in the world and get everybody that we can, who's, you know, been a world champion in the movie. So that's what we did.
Wow. So as American soccer fans, ESPN has failed us more than once. Okay. but I would like to stress that this seems pretty dope. This is something that I think could be on ESPN. Meanwhile, ESPN sometimes shows CrossFit competitions. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes they show guys picking up rocks and putting them on taller pieces of wood. And this is what's on ESPN.
Thrilling TV. I love
it. The cornhole, cup stacking, like, all that stuff is on TV. And I was actually surprised that nobody had, like, tried to do something more with foosball, because it's, like, it's way more advanced than cornhole, you know, like, not to say those guys aren't good, but
please make a movie about professional cornholers.
I would love to.
No, you know what? On this show, we can shit on cornholers.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that.
We moved up the totem pole at least one slot from cornholers, right?
Well, Joe, thank you again for joining us. Let people know about Kicking and Screening and where they can watch the film being screened.
Sure. So we're going to be opening night at the Kicking and Screening Film Festival June 4th at 7 p.m. I'm going to be there. We're going to have three of our cast who are also world champion foosball players there. We're going to have a foosball table at the venue. So come early. We're going to get there about 6 o'clock. They're going to be doing foosball demos, meet and greets. Like, Tony, who's in the movie, who's one of the best, he's in our teaser trailer. He'll play people with one hand and just completely destroy them. he'll be there, you know, taking on challengers if you want to play him one-handed.
Do you think us two against...
I think if us two played him with one hand, I think we would at least... I think we'd beat him.
Not a chance.
You think the both
Not
of us?
Chance.
Both
he
of us versus one guy.
4-point lead. 4-point lead. And probably blindfold, and he could probably school everybody.
Yeah, we need to do this.
All right, Tony, we're coming after you, Tony.
Yeah, all right, Tony. You've been working that one hand a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, so you guys, if you're listening to this or watching, you can go to kickingandscreening.com to get tickets. The event is held all week from June 4th through June 7th at the Scandinavia House. We'll be there maybe a couple of days. I don't know which day in particular,
we'll
but we're going to be there for this. It's always really, really fun. So go to kickingandscreening.com to get tickets. And you can get to meet everybody, like, in soccer as well. A lot of people come through. You can take photos with your favorite foosballer. You know, you never know. So make sure you do that. Kickingandscreening.com. Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the show, man. It really means a lot.
And where can people follow you so they can see your next few projects? Are you on social media?
Yeah, at Joe Heslinga, J-O-E-H-E-S-L-I-N-G-A.
So. Very cool.
All right, Joe, thank you so much, man. Take care.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Joe was incredible. Joe Oslinga, everybody.
People probably thought we were going to make fun of foosball, but if you watch just the trailer, you're like, intrigued.
Have you listened to the show? We do not mock or make fun of anybody.
Not at all. If anything, we revere everybody for how they get to be part of our lives.
No, but thank you again, Joe Oslinga. It's awesome to find, again, like these overlaps in comedy and soccer and even foosball and all this stuff.
Dude,
like,
it exists out there.
We're trying our best to merge all these worlds together.
We will wedge these worlds together whether you like it or not.
All right, just a square peg and round hole. That's make it work. Right.
Give me some sandpaper.
So thank you again, Joe, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Again, a reminder, kickingandscreening.com. We'll be there. Get tickets. The films that they screen are just absolutely awesome. We had an absolute blast last year.
And it's a fun time every night. Like,
and it's like open
anymore.
Bar and fun. And it's like, man, chill.
It's a good time.
All right. Scandinavia House, kickingscreening.com. Go get tickets. So thank you again for listening. Make sure you leave a review, subscribe, all that fun
stuff. 5 stars. Join Gully Squad so we can do more of these extra episodes.
Exactly. SoccerCooligans.com/Gully Squad. Help and support the show. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!